where he reigned, fire and brimstone down upon them, destroyed them all. Told Lot and his wife to flee, not to look back. And as they departed from the city, Lot's wife looked back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. So he says, there, that land's going to be better off than you fellas in the day of judgment. And so he speaks here. It says, and at that time Jesus answered. Now, if you look at the context here, you'll see that nobody has asked him a question. He finishes in verse 24. He's been referring to these several cities that did not welcome the disciples and so forth, didn't treat them well. He said it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And at that time, Jesus answered. Well, if you look at the context here, you'll see that nobody had asked him a question, or that he was indeed in conversation with another man, or a group of men, or any human being. Now, when a man answers, he answers a person who has been speaking to him. Who then was speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ that required an answer? Well, the only thing you could say here is that he was speaking to his Father in heaven. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Called him Father, and recognized him, his Father, to be the Lord. The Lord. That means that God the Father is the Lord of the heaven and the earth. That is, that He has all power and authority in heaven and in earth. That's what that means. Our Lord Jesus was in constant fellowship with the Father. That is to say that there was a silent fellowship and conversation that the Father and the Son had. They communicated one to another silently. The Lord Jesus Christ had the ear of the... He had the mouth and the tongue of the Father in His own ear. He could hear. There was in a perfect unity and harmony. There was no disagreement between the two. Perfect unity in the Trinity of the Persons. The Father and the Son. So, he had a constant and silent fellowship with the Father. Had an ear ready to listen to the voice of God. And he said at that time, Jesus answered, speaking to the Father. Because he said, I thank thee. I thank thee. To be in such a relationship with the Father, which is so much different than human relationships, because in human relationship, Father and Son oftentimes are not on the same wavelength. One thinks one thing, but these two, the Father and the Son, was in perfect agreement. Perfect agreement. The Son agreed with the Father, and the Father agreed with the Son. No surprise to either one. He had an ear ready to listen to the voice of God. He had a right understanding and apprehension of who God is and who God was at that time, although what He was then He is now, because God never changes. And the thing about our society, our generation, the thing about them is they have not a clear apprehension who God is. That's their problem. That's the problem with every lost man, every man, woman, boy, or girl who is not in the fold, who has not been quickened by God's Spirit, and who has not been wounded in his conscience and laid low and made to cry out, "Guilty, guilty, guilty of the charges against me. Oh, God, have mercy." They've never been brought to that because they have no clear understanding or apprehension of who God is. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew who God was and is. And He said at that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I'm in agreement. And I thank You and praise You and bless You." A right apprehension of the character of God. Now, most, I say, not all, but most, they seem to have a floating, misty, hazy idea of who God is. And that's the problem. They don't know who God is. That's the reason they do what they do and say what they say. Act like they act. They don't know who God is. They have not an inkling. Their fingertips have never touched this idea of truth set forth in the Bible as to who God is. You could ask them to square a circle and they wouldn't know the difference. They do not see anything in regard to His holiness, His justice, His love, His faithfulness, His immutability, His not being capable of change. God cannot lie. He's immutable. He can't lie. It's an impossible, it's an impossibility for God to lie. It's an impossibility for God to change. He can't change. He is what He is. And what He is, He always will be. And what He always will be, He always was. No apprehension of what God is. They don't know anything about God's holiness, His justice, His love, His faithfulness, His omnipotence. Oh no. They're blind to that. And that's the reason they say what they say and do what they do. No understanding of who God is. Look at the way the Lord Jesus Christ regards God the Father. He calls Him the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't talk with his friends about the man upstairs. I hear that practically all the time around someone, and someone says, "Well, that's the preacher. Is he a preacher?" Yeah, I'm telling you, I've heard people argue over it, whether I'm a preacher or not. Just sat and talking, they don't know who I am. I don't know who they are sometimes. I may recognize their face, and I may not. And we're talking, having conversation, and one of them or someone come along, "Well, there's the preacher there. What are you guys doing talking to the preacher? Are you a preacher?" "Well," I said, "I preach a little." Can't understand. They don't understand. The Lord Jesus Christ regarded His Father as Lord of heaven and earth, Creator of all things. If you're Lord of heaven and earth, you're the man in charge. The question is, to most people in our day, who's boss? Who's the boss? Who's in charge? God's in charge and God's the boss. Who's running this show? God's running this show. Always has and always will be. I thank Thee, O Lord, of heaven and earth. Now when he says that, he's regarding God as having all authority in heaven and on earth. And these religious of our day do not see this loving kindness. They don't see it, or they don't understand it. The loving kindness of the Father in the choice of His people. When I talk about the election of God, when I say that God, before the foundation of the world, hath chosen a number out of this numberless race of people unto Himself, sanctified them, set them apart, and sent the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem them. And when I say that all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And when I say that this individual who has come to the place of his sinnerhood and recognizes it and confesses unto God that I'm guilty as charged, when I say that man is saved, if it's true, if he really has come and gives evidence of it, I say that he's saved. Saved for now, for time, and for eternity. And he shall never be never perish. He'll never be lost again. When I say that, people say, "Oh, that." Now, why do they say that? Because they do not have a clear apprehension of who God is. They don't think He's in charge. They don't think He has this power. They think they have power. You have no power whatsoever. You are either one. God has all power in heaven and in earth. Well, they can't understand that this business of salvation by the grace of God, that it originated in His sovereign, discriminatory love, and that this love of God Almighty was so strong that it is from everlasting to everlasting up on those on whom it is fixed. Our Lord called Him Father and yet Lord. Now, the name, man is not father to everything he produces. A mortal man like you and I. Amen. A man is not father to everything he produces. He may paint a painting and spend much time in doing it. Bob's a painter. He paints paintings. He's a good painter, too. Good artist, Bobby is. Has been all this time. I don't know whether he's been appreciated for his ability to do that or not, but I appreciate him and thank God for him that he can do that. Spend a lot of time on it. Sit there for hours upon hours looking at that blank piece of paper and drawing on that, you know. Well, listen. A man may draw this picture, make this painting of an intricate object and spend a whole lot of time doing it, but he is not its father. He's not its father. As to what a father is. God made the stars, but he's not their father. He made the angels, but nowhere is it said in the Bible, at any time, ye are my sons. Nowhere. It's true now, in the sense of origination, we are all his offsprings, for he made us all. And that's true. But that sweet word, Father, he starts out with that. I thank thee, O Father, the Lord Jesus Christ in his prayer here. I thank thee, O Father. Sweet word is there is, with God the Son and God the Father, there is a relationship as well as origin. We, His chosen people, are next of kin. We are His children by faith, and we have been adopted into the family. So we are chosen, the next of kin, his children, joint heirs, the Bible says, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And it is a relationship that can never be dissolved. We can never be divorced on any grounds from the relationship we have with God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is our elder brother. He's the next of kin. And we're members of that family. And he calls us the children of God. And when he creates us anew, when we're born of the Spirit of God and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, the first thing that comes out of our hearts and soul is Abba, Father. Our Father, which is in heaven. Abba, sweet word. Now a child can never be anything but the son of his father. I have these four boys. I am their father. And that four boys, Pat and Mitch and Brad and Stan, they can never be anything but the sons of their father. That cannot be dissipated. That cannot be absolved. That cannot be cut in two. I'll always be their father, and they'll always be my son. but the son of his own father. A relationship, father and son, which no sin can ever break. A relationship, father and son, no sin can ever break that relationship. No pain can ever loosen or mar that relationship till it's null and void. Can't be done. The father is the father still, though his child or his son be bogged in the quaggy and filthy mire and mud. Even if the son spits in the father's face or does something else that is worse than that, and I can't think of anything else worse than that. The son spitting in the father's face. This relationship between the father and the son is not removed by any act, either on the father's part or on the son's part. Can't be dissolved. Once a father, once a son, it's always father and son. Nothing can change. Now, so this stands too with the people of God. They are not only his creature, but doubly his creature, because he hath made them new creatures in Christ Jesus. They are so near to him that there is none that can stand between him and they. Father and son. Nothing can stand between the sons of God and God their Father. So Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, is the link of union between the Father and the Son. No man cometh unto the Father but by the Son. And that link cannot be dissolved. Abba Father, he that can say that has uttered better things than even angels. You can't look upon him as the King of Kings until you first see him as Abba Father. You can talk about the great King of the universe, but you can't apprehend who he is until you find out that he's your Father. Just to say that he's your Father don't make it so. So you can't look upon him as the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords and only potentate unless you can regard him as your Father. You can't do anything for his honor and for his glory unless you call him Father. See here this evening. When we come to the place in our minds, our intelligence, and in our bodies and in our soul, that God, our Father, is everything. We need nothing else. When we have him as all and in all and to all, then we can say, Abba Father. Now, our Lord, in this passage here, said, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. So we take it that Jesus meant by the expression, I thank Thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that the Father was by power and by right the Lord of heaven and earth. Which is to say, now I read there in the paper about the storm in the southern part of the state, and I've seen the pictures. And they said that most of those people that they'd never experienced anything like that. And they wondered and still wonder how it could have happened. And they can't understand the damage But to say that He's the Lord of the heaven and the earth is to say that the wildest storm that can be imagined is ordered in the eye of God. In every calamity, God reigns. Whether it's an earthquake that kills a thousand, or whether it's two trucks that come together and two men die on the highway, it's always in the eye of God. He's the order of all things, certain and sure. I thank Thee, He said, that Thou art Lord. You're running things. You're the boss. You're in charge. There is no light or spark that His power does not kindle. When those forests in Wyoming and Colorado, all those places catch on fire, they always say, it's due to the hot weather. Lightning has struck and started a fire. That's God. He sends the lightning. He sends the hail. He sends the storms. God's in charge. Not many people recognize it. If you do here, you're one of the minority. If you believe that God's in charge, that He's on the throne, that He rules, and He has the right to rule, because He's the Creator. He fashioned these things. He put it all together. And there's no limit to His right. He has the absolute right to do whatever He wants to. And He has the absolute right to do whatsoever He will with these creatures. He has that right. I listen to the politicians and they are crying and saying, they want certain groups of people to have this and to have that, and say they have a right. They're citizens of the United States of America, and they have a right. Every child has a right. We're all born equal. Now, the Constitution may say that, but the Bible don't say it. The Bible doesn't say we're all equal. We're not all equal. Little baby there in Germantown, Pennsylvania, that was born without no arms or no legs. She's not equal with the child that's born got two arms and two legs. That child that's born blind is not equal to the one that's got two eyes. God's in charge. He's got the right. You say, well, that's hard. No, it's not hard. Everything that God does is right, and He has the right to. Absolute right. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Controls everything. And whatsoever He does with His own creatures, He has the right to do so. He has the right to destroy them, or He has the right to save them. And he said, I thank thee, oh Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. I thank you, Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ now says, I thank you, Father, that you've hid these truths from the wise and the prudent. I thank you that you've done that. Well, I thought these people said God's going to save everybody. Oh, no. He never promised to save everybody. He promised to save His people. People that He chose unto Himself in Christ before the world ever was. He's going to save them. They're not wise and prudent. No, He revealed their babes. They don't know anything. They're teachable. He reveals it to them. Well, anyhow, He doeth as He wills. He's Lord of heaven and earth. And has the right to do so. Now listen, and I'll quit here in just a minute. You say, well, why did not God choose the wise and the prudent? Why did He hide those things from the wise and the prudent? Now, over here in a book of 2 Corinthians, I'll read something else along with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1. Listen to what it says here. It says here in verse 25, it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Why didn't God call wise and the prudent? Well, there's not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty men, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, listen to this, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him, the children, are ye in Christ Jesus. But of Him, it's of God. But of Him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You ask, you say, well, why did God do that? Well, ask the angel Gabriel and see what he says. What does he say about this? Ask old Gabriel. He's the chief angel. He's the spokesman here. Well, you don't have to ask him. Some of them, they think it's because that the gospel is beneath their consideration. That's the reason they won't. Well, that wise man, he won't come. He's heard the preacher and all that, and he knows that there's no way to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he thinks that the gospel is beneath his consideration. He thinks that it flatters his pride. He says, I'm occupied with something else and I don't have time. I don't have no time for this preaching business, this God business. Well, all these, I suppose, are good reasons. why they do not come to Christ or why they do not receive the gospel. But they are, none of them all put together, not a reason why God does not call them. God's reason for calling or for not calling a man is not in man, but it's in God Himself. Ask that Gabriel, and he can't tell you. They don't know. But we know it's in God. The calling of God is without repentance. God doesn't repent of what He hasn't changed His mind. And our Lord Himself in this text said, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Why didn't they call him? You can ask every preacher in the United States of America. You can ask the angel Gabriel if you want to. You can, if you could, go to an angel that sits before the throne of God, and he won't be able to tell you. You may ask all of the people of God that you can find, and they can't tell you. The reason is that God willed it. And there we must rest and let it go. God willed it. That's where it is. You ain't going to change God's mind. And He didn't make no mistakes. I thank Thee, Father. I thank You that You've hid these things. Well, I'll tell you this. I feel a little bit better when I realize that I was never considered among the wise and the prudent. I just never was considered among them. No one ever told me that I was a wise man. No one ever said I was prudent. But I have some say, I have had some whisper, "That fella, I don't know where he's coming from. What kind of a preacher is he? He doesn't know the Latin. He doesn't know the Greek. He's uneducated. He's not wise. He's not prudent." And our Lord Jesus said, "I thank Thee, O Father in heaven, that Thou, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise," which I've never been accused of being wise, "but hast revealed them unto babes." And our Lord Jesus was saying amen here. He said, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Because it's the will of God. The reason is not in us. I've told you time and time again that if there's any reason, the reason's got to be in God, because you can't find no reason in us. There is no reason in us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all alike. And the reason is found with Him. He willed it. It's His purpose. Well, the Lord help us. Let's stand. We'll be there.